Alright, well, let's see how you did. Number one, under the building section, it says, according to verse 35 and verse 43, what was happening in Lydda and Joppa? What was happening is, in verse 35, people were turning to the Lord in Lydda. And in Joppa, in verse 42, many believed in the Lord, which means that the church was growing, and that was point number six in the sermon from Sunday. While looking at the scriptures and comparing them to church today, it is clear that we have adopted and have adapted routines that are not necessary or present in the text. Make a list of those things. Well, they could range from a lot of our annual days or bunch of events or just the different things that we do that keep us busy in the church, but they have no evangelistic impact at all. They don't render returns for people coming to Christ or giving their life to Jesus as Lord and Savior. Can the busyness of these routines make us lethargic to God's intention for the church? If so, how, if not, explain? Of course, the answer to that question is yes. Because many times what we do, we get in our routine, we just keep our schedule from week to week, week to week, week to week, but we're not witnessing to anybody. The church is not, again, feeling any evangelistic impact with the things that we do. And the routines that we're keeping may not be wrong in themselves, but when they begin to take the place of us witnessing, then there's something to be said about that, especially if we are fooling ourselves into thinking that we're really serving the Lord when we're really just serving a routine that is not bringing about a measurable return as shown by the lost coming to Christ. Number four, pollination is an act of transferring, is what goes in that blank, pollen grains from the male part of the flower called an anther, A-N-T-H-E-R, to the female part of the flower called the stigma, S-T-I-G-M-A. Pollination can occur with the wind, but is done most effectively by pollinators, which are animals, insects, and bees. When pollination occurs, fertilization and reproduction are the result. In this illustration, every believer is a pollinator and should be fertilizing non-believers with the gospel, so that verse 35 and verse 43 can occur in the church. Y'all got it? Number five, moths are most effective pollinators at night. What natural element is a distraction to the pollinating process at night for a moth? That's fire. When such an element is present, what does the moth do? The moth becomes distracted from the flower and is attracted to the flames and approaches the flames and ends up being burned in the flames. What happens to the flower? The flower then does not get the pollen that it needs and will not be able to reproduce. In the life of the church, using this illustration, we have forsaken the flower, which is the people, for the flames, which are programs. And we talk about, when we say program, we're talking about those things that we do to just keep us busy and keep us lethargic to God's purpose. But yet, because we're so tired when we finish all these programs, we somehow think that we have been doing the work and the will of God, when in fact we're not. In the text, Peter left Jerusalem for Joppa and Lydda, which shows he had a commitment to go. And the scripture support that is Matthew 28:19. The people in the passage were Aeneas, a man, and Dorcas, or you could have written Tabitha, a woman. This shows that Peter had a commitment to both genders. How was Peter graceful, or to say, to mean flexible? Discuss what the problems were with each person. What does this require of the church? Explain and discuss. Okay, well, he was flexible in that they didn't have identical problems. Aeneas had been paralyzed for 8 years, and he needed, you know, recuperative strength in his limbs. And so Peter had to adjust to minister to him. He had to be flexible and graceful to minister to him, while Dorcas was dead, which is a completely different situation from being deficient. You know, when you're deficient, you still have life. You got something to work with. But if the person is dead, it requires a whole, you know, something else completely different. And we can see where he was graceful and flexible in that regard. Number 11, Peter was committed to God as shown by how he reverenced his son, Jesus. Peter kept Jesus as the focus of all of his miracles. Though his name is not mentioned in verse 40, who did Peter pray to? Of course, he prayed to Jesus, or he prayed to God. Both of them are the same. But of course, if you want your prayers answered according to the word of God, you're going to have to ask in Jesus' name. How did Peter lead Aeneas and Dorcas to glorify God? Okay, after you fill in the blank, then ask the question for both persons using the text, then discuss. Well, in order for the people to, for Aeneas and Dorcas to bring glory to God, Peter specifically asked for Aeneas to make his bed to show that now he had dominion over his bed. And for Dorcas, after she had been resuscitated back to life, he brought her out for the people to see, and thereby giving God the glory. All right, hope you did good. This is Pastor Morris. Love you. Bye-bye.